Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to Sunday School. I almost said church. Welcome to Sunday School today. It's good to have each one of you with us. If you're visiting, we're glad to have you today. Trust that the Lord will bless us our time together as we open the Word of God. Ephesians, please, chapter 4 again. Ephesians chapter 4. Brother Alford said as we woke up this morning, we are reminded of the opportunity to go to church today. It is Sunday. What a special day it is to me, and I know it is to you. Every week, we get the opportunity to come together and to study God's Word, to fellowship with one another, and to grow, hopefully, in the Word of God and be stronger Christians. Thank you for being here again, and I trust God will give us a good service this morning, not only Sunday school, but the morning worship service as we come together. So thank you for being here. Let's open with prayer today, and ask God to bless our time together. Father, thank you for life. Thank you for this another day, another opportunity we can come together in your house as your children. Father, we're thankful, Lord, that because of Jesus Christ, Lord, we're one. Lord, it's because he loves us. He loved us. He still loves us because we know him personally. Lord, that we're together today. You bring us together to worship you, to praise you, to honor you, to learn more about you. Lord, that we might go out into this world this week and share you with other people. Father, help us, remind us daily, Lord, of our responsibilities, Lord, as we go forth in this life. Lord, now as we open your word again, Lord, we're looking at some practical things in the Christian's life. Lord, things we ought to be doing. And the reason we ought to do, reason we do what we do as your children. And I pray the Spirit of God will be our teacher. He will lead and guide us in all that we say and all that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Brother Alford stands up here and he asks for contacts and he asks for Bibles every week. And some may wonder why he does this. And, you know, I was thinking about that this morning when he did that. Well, you know, as children of God, we all are accountable to God. We're accountable to God. Contacts is an opportunity for us to pass out a tract or even just to invite someone to church. Just give an invitation, maybe, and the Lord opens the door to share the gospel. That's a contact, you know, and we ought to be making contacts every week of our life. We're missing a blessing, really, when we don't. But also bringing our Bibles. Thank you for bringing your Bibles to church, to Sunday school. You'd be surprised today of the churches out there that are meeting right now. The number of people there that don't take their Bible, they don't never take their Bible to church. Not whatsoever. You'd be surprised, and I would too. I'm thankful that you bring your Bible to Sunday school and you bring your Bible to church. Folks, this is the most important thing we have in our life, the Bible, God's Word. We ought to treasure it. We ought to thank God for it every day. And I'm glad that we have an opportunity to come together just to open it and to share a few verses that God may have laid upon our hearts and that we could grow thereby and that we could be maybe what God wants us to be every day. So it's important. These contacts, the Bible, these things are important. Reminds me I'm accountable, okay? Hope it reminds you that you are accountable also to God because of our life. God saved us, yes. We're on the way to heaven. That's great to know that, isn't it? But also we need to be accountable. Realize we're accountable to tell others about Jesus too and to have our Bible with us as we come together. Okay, in Ephesians chapter 4, last week, we began our walk. Again, chapter 4 is a walk chapter. Again, we're to walk worthy in verse 1 of chapter 4. Also, we're to walk using our gifts in verse 17. We're also to walk also differently in verse 17. Verse 7, walk using our gifts. Verse 17, we're to walk differently from unbelievers. I say so many times, there ought to be a difference in the walk in the life of believers than unbelievers. May the Lord help us to realize that as we go through this life. Paul is talking here to the Ephesians, and he's telling them to leave behind the old life of sin now and to follow Christ. That's what we're to do as Christians. We're to leave behind the old life of sin, and now we're to focus on following the Lord Jesus Christ in our life. That is what he's telling him. That's what he's telling us. If we listen to God every day in our life, there's going to be changes in our life. There's going to be changes in our life because we're going to want to follow him. We want to listen to his word and obey his word. I'm thankful that he gives us his word. I said, Christian living is based upon Christian what? Learning. Learning. No matter what career you've had, or maybe what career you're in, you are where you are because you've had to learn a lot of things to get to where you are, okay, in your career. Well, likewise, in the Christian realm also, we have to learn. As we learn, our living changes. Our living, might say, modifies to some extent. We're maybe different than we were yesterday, or last week, or last 6 months, or last year, you see. It's a process the Bible talks about is sanctification. We're gradually set apart, to the cause of Christ, to the work of Christ, as we grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, last week we talked about walking in Christ. We talked about the reason we walk in Christ. Why do we walk in Christ? We walk in Christ, again, because we have learned of him. We've heard of him. We've been taught by him through his word, and we learned of him. In other words, it's because of Jesus Christ that we walk with him, walk, follow him. What has he done for you? What has he done for me? May we be reminded of what he's done for us. Therefore, he's worthy to follow. He's worthy to live for because of all he's done for you and I in our lives. So we looked at that last week, and we begin talking about now the way we are to follow Christ. The reason, and now the way we are to follow Christ. Folks, this is practical, everyday living, okay, we're talking about. When it comes to the Christian's life, what are we to do and how are we to follow Christ, the way to follow Christ in our life? Now, if you will look in verse number 22, Ephesians 4, verse 22, we talked about this, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Putting off the old man. That is to lay aside. When you put off something, it's like taking off a garment, okay? This coat, laying it aside. Put off the old man. Now, we're not talking about the old man as the world would say the old man. Sarcastically, you know how they use the old man so much today. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about our nature. Our corrupt nature that we have as an individual. It's called old because it precedes what is going to be new. Okay? Our old man, and we put on later the new man. Maybe that's why it's called, referred to old, see. Its character is corrupt. Notice, according to the lust, verse 22 says, our old man's nature is corrupt according to the lust. Now, we notice these lusts, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye. Okay, these lusts, they're deceitful. They deceive us in our lives daily if we're not on guard and careful here. We see they promise pleasure, but sometimes they bring pain. Sometimes they bring pain. We also see they promise liberty, but sometimes they put us under bondage if we're not careful. These lusts that we face in this world today, lusting after things in this world. And we need to be careful when we are in the world that these lusts do not only attract us, but grab us and get us. Because they easily do that. They easily do that in our life, you see. Now, we notice that putting off the old man and following Christ, here's an action we have to take. We have to put it off. Put off the old nature. Now, that is personal. That is personal. I can't put off the old nature for you. You can't put it off the old nature for me. It's almost like being saved, this personal thing. We have to accept Christ personally as our Savior. We have to put off the old flesh personally. Personally, we do it ourselves by God's help, I'm saying. We can't do it ourselves, but we have to do it individually, maybe I should say. It's a better word than personal. We do it individually. And putting off the old flesh, it involves our life. It involves our habits that we have in our life. And it also boils down to literally our character, who we are, as we put off the old man. Our life will change, our habits will change, our character will change if we put off the old man, the corrupt nature that is born within all of us. We all have it, the Adamic nature. So we see that it's very important. Not only that, in putting off the old nature, it will bring our mind to the truth of the Word of God as we read it. See, it's the Word of God, the Bible says, is quick, is powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword. It's amazing to me what this Word can do and will do for us if we will allow it to. We allow it to, you see. Therefore, we find in putting off the old man, we find that the Word of God will bring our mind truth from the Word of God, the truth that we want to hear. I don't know about you. I like to know the truth. I don't want to know the error. You know, I want to know the truth. And believe me, if you get out here and try to talk to people and witness to people, you're going to find people that have a lot of error. They don't have the truth because they don't have the Bible that we have. They have all kinds of other versions and whatever you want to call them. They don't have the truth. And they will, if you're not careful, they will even deceive you. If you're not grounded, if you're not careful as you go and listen to people. So, putting off the old man will bring the mind under the truth. Also, putting off the old man will give a new direction in our life. Our life will have a new direction. You know, there'll be new things we want to do. We want to stop the things we used to do, the old things, and we want to do new things. Paul makes it plain in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a what? New creature. He says, old things have passed away. Behold, all things become what? New. New. You see, so putting off the old man will give life a new direction. A new direction, you see. Before you got saved, you probably never come to church much at all. You may have, but it had no meaning for you. But since I've been saved, since you've been saved, you have a desire to be in God's house. I really believe that. People that don't have a desire to be in God's house, I wonder really, are they saved? Are they really saved? And so we find here that it will give life new direction. The Christian life must be different from the old life. The old life. If there's not a difference in my life, in your life, since I've been saved, I better check up and see if I have been saved. Because there is a difference, folks. I say this, in a life of a Christian, in the life of an unbeliever. There is a difference, a big difference in our lives, and we need to realize that. See, we talked about last week in Romans 6 how the old man has been what? Crucified. The old man now has been crucified, and now we are resurrected to live a new life. Paul says about it in Romans chapter 6, verse 4, how we're to walk in the newness of life now as a believer, you see. And in doing that, we put off the old man. We put off the old man that we have been up till we get saved, whatever age that may be, see. And that's not an overnight thing, folks. It's not an overnight thing. It's a gradual process, like I said, as God sets us apart through through the teaching of the Word of God and the studying of God's Word as the Holy Spirit reveals truths to us. So, we are to put off the old man. We who believe and have our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ are to put off the old man. Daily, daily, we see this. See, it's not enough to die to the old life, folks. It's not enough just to die to the old life. It involves putting off the old man. Putting off the old man. There's something here that's really very important to us. There must be resurrection and there must be new life in the life of a Christian. resurrection, we're raised to walk in what? The newness of life. Paul tells us that in the Word of God, you see. Now, I want you to turn over to John as we try to illustrate this. John chapter 11. We're talking about putting off the old man and raised to walk in the newness of life. We know in John chapter 11 that Lazarus had died. They've been trying to get up with Jesus and could not. And finally, 4 days later, he showed up after he's already buried, been buried for 4 days. And we find in verse number 40 of John chapter 11, Jesus said unto her, that is Martha, the sister of Lazarus, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. Then they took away the stone. They're at the grave now where Lazarus is buried, from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hast heard me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said, if that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, notice, bound hand and foot with what? Grave clothes. The clothes he was buried in. He come forth with his grave clothes on, okay? Now, listen to what it says. And his face was bound about with a napkin. Now, notice what Jesus said to the people there concerning Lazarus. Loose him and what? Let him go. What am I saying to you? I'm saying when we get saved, we're to change clothes, folks, simply. We're to lay down our old grave clothes, the clothes that we've lived in for all our life up to that point, lay them down and put on some new clothes. That's what Jesus told him to do to Lazarus. Loose him and let him go. Loose him and let him go. Praise God. You know, when God saves us and gives us a new life, gives us a song in our heart and a testimony on our lips, listen, we have laid down literally those old grave clothes, Brother Sam, and now we're walking in newness of life in the clothes that Jesus Christ gives, in his righteousness, literally, because he clothes us. He clothes us in his righteousness. You see, so what am I saying here? I'm saying here that we must put off the grave clothes of the old life and live now in the newness of life that God has given us, eternal life. This is by putting off the old man, that we all have and we all are. We are a part of God's new creation. Now, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 10, we are his workmanship. Notice, created in Christ Jesus unto what? Good works. Unto good works. Therefore, we're putting off the old man. The old man is dead. And now we're raised to walk in this newness of life that Jesus Christ has given to us. So we see, first of all, the first thing we do in the Christian life as far as walking in following Christ is to put off the old man. Put off the old man. Now let's notice in verse number 23. Verse 23, back in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, look at verse number 23. Verse 22 says, as you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deep, deceitful lust. And verse 23 says, and be renewed in the spirit of your what? Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now, to be renewed means to make new. To make new. To be renewed in the spirit of your mind, he says here. Here's another action here. Be renewed. Turn to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter number 3, I'm sorry. Titus 3, verse 5. Says, not by the works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he what? Saved us, how? By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Washing or regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Now, regeneration simply is a spiritual change brought about by the very act of God to enable us as human beings to have the faith to trust in God. He has regenerated us. He has given us a new life in Jesus Christ. He has renewed our mind. We no longer think the way we used to think. We think differently because Christ lives in us. Christ lives in us, see. It's necessary that a man, as a Christian, becomes a new man. Not only is it necessary, it can't happen unless you get saved. If you are saved, you are a new man. You are a new man. There's something different about you. I'm so glad to know that, you know, I know when I got married, my wife and I got married, but I also know when I got saved. There's no doubt about it. I can take you to the place. I can tell you the time that the Lord saved me. I know He saved me, and I hope you can say that today and know that without any doubt. Because we see here that it's necessary, that is, to be renewed in spirit of your mind. You think different now as a Christian. You think different as a Christian. It means simply again to make new. You have been made new in the Lord Jesus Christ. He makes us new. Isn't that a blessing? Isn't that a glorious thing to know? That in Christ we are new. We're not what we used to be. Oh, I'm not what I ought to be yet, but thank God I'm not what I used to be. Amen? I'm a new man in Christ Jesus. A new man. A new creature in Christ Jesus. See, it's necessary that a man should be renewed, I believe, in order to be saved. Turn back to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Look what he says here. A man should be renewed in order to be saved. To be saved, to be born again. In John chapter 1, look at verse number 12. But as many as received him, that is Jesus, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now folks, listen. Bible tells me there that it's nothing that I've done to save me. I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and He gave me power to become a child of God. It's not about me, it's all about Him. All about Him. Now notice something else He says here. Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of who? But of God. See, it's God that worketh in us to bring His good pleasure in our life. Give us opportunity to be saved. See, so we see here that it's necessary that a man should be renewed in order to be saved because God's power comes in us. Now, I've said before, if God is in you and God is in me through the Spirit, and He is, if we're saved, how can we help but be different? We have to be different if God's in us. Because God's living in us, He's directing our lives, He's helping us, He's influencing us in our ways every day. Thank God for being renewed in the spirit of our mind. That is, becoming a new person in Christ Jesus. He makes us new. It's like starting all over again in life, isn't it? When you get saved, your sins are forgiven. You feel like a load has been lifted off your shoulders, you see. And now you're a new person in Christ Jesus. You've got a new start. Thank God for this renewing our mind here. It's a matter of God working in us. Someone said that God uses Christians that stay cool in hot places. God uses Christians that are sweet in sour places. God uses Christians who are little in a big place. God uses those kinds of people. He wants to be honored Himself. He wants to be glorified. He don't want us to be honored. He don't want us to be glorified. But notice also, the mind of man, the mind that we have, the mind of mankind has been afflicted by what? Sin. Our mind is always watching out for sin. We're afflicted by sin everywhere we go. And also, it is worldly. Our mind is worldly. Often thinking of the world. Often thinking of the world. See, that's their mind. That's why our mind should be renewed in the Spirit. See, our mind is to be renewed in the Spirit as we walk after Christ, or we walk in Christ, you see. The mind is renewed how? Our mind is renewed by the very presence of Jesus Christ in our life. By His presence in our life, our minds are renewed here in the believer. See, the man now is spiritually, as a new creature in Christ Jesus, you're spiritual. John says in John 3, we see in verses 3 through 8, that unless you are born of the water and of the Spirit, you cannot see or enter the kingdom of God. See, it's a new birth. You have to be born again in order to go to heaven. You have to be born again to know Christ as your Savior. And in doing that, as we see here in verse chapter 4, verse 24, that you are a new man. You're made a new man. Look at verse 24, it says, and you put on the new man. We'll talk about that a little later on. But you put on the new man in Christ Jesus, you see. You're made into a new creature. You give them literally the mind of Christ. Paul says, let the mind of Christ be in you. Let the mind of Christ be in you. Let it. He's there. He wants you to focus on Him. Let Him direct your life, you see. Christ changes the believer's mind to focus on God when we become a believer. We focus now on God more than we do the world because Christ is in us. He's in us. He gives us that mind. You see, to do that, only Christ can give you and me the thoughts and the Spirit to live out the thoughts He gives us. Man don't have that ability. It's Christ in us, folks, that gives us that ability to do this in our lives, you see. So the mind is renewed by the very presence of Christ in our lives, in our hearts, you see. But also the believer is to live a transformed life. We're to live a changed life as a believer. To walk with Christ, to follow Christ, is to live a transformed life. The Bible tells us in Matthew 22, verse 37, that the believer is to love the Lord with all his mind. Heart and soul, he says, but he's got mind in that verse. We're to love the Lord with all our mind. In order for us to do that, we have to allow God's presence in us to control our mind. I don't know about you, but sometimes my mind has thoughts it don't need to have in it. Amen? And thoughts I have to quickly get out of my mind. I have to get up and do something different. I change focus or something because, listen, this old man that we are talking about putting away, he's still much alive, folks, in us. But we are to crucify him daily, as Paul says. We're to get him out of our thinking all we can, you see. Because when God redeemed my soul and your soul, He did not redeem our bodies and our minds. But He gives us a new mind if we allow Christ to be present in our mind. The believer is to keep our minds upon spiritual things. Spiritual things. The Bible. Paul talks about thinking about things in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Things that are good report. And all these things we should be focusing on in our minds. We need to be thinking that way. But we also see that the believer is to cast down imaginations and even thoughts that interrupt his knowledge of God. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I'll read these verses. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Look at verse 3. Brothers and sisters, I'm saying to you and to myself, this is not something easy to do. That is to follow Christ. Have our mind focused on Christ all the time. Because we're in a war in this world which we live in. A fight. As Brother Lester Rollall says, this is the battlefield, brother, not a recreation ground that we're in. We're in a battle every day of our life. And we have to be careful how we think in our life. We have to. If it were not for the mercy of God, the grace of God, and the very presence of God in us, we could not do it. We could not do it. But notice it says in 2 Corinthians chapter number 10, look at verse number 3. For though we walk in the flesh, now we're walking in the flesh, are we not? We do not war against the flesh. And don't forget that. We're walking in this flesh, but we're not fighting the flesh as Christians. But notice what it says in verse number 4. It says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. It's a constant thing, folks, in our lives to cast down imaginations and thoughts that try to interrupt the knowledge of God in your life and my life. That's why it's literally impossible to be what God wants us to be without reading the Word of God daily. This is the weapon we have to fight off our imaginations and our thoughts that interrupt our knowledge of God. We have this book. This is what we use. This is all we have to use. All we got to use, maybe I should say. And therefore, we need a daily diet of the Word of God in our minds, into our hearts, that we might be able to do exactly what Paul says we need to do. Casting down these things here as he's talking about. But notice back in, again, Ephesians chapter 4 again, where we were. We talked about walking in Christ by putting off the old man, by renewing, or by being renewed in the spirit of our mind. And then last but not least, we looked also in Ephesians chapter 4, look at verse number 24. And that you put on the what? New man. Put off the old man, renew in the spirit of our mind, and three, we put on the new man. Put on the new. Remember what I said last Sunday? If there's a habit I want to stop, if there's something in my life that I don't like and I'm trying to get rid of it, if I'm going to stop it, I've got to replace it with something better, something good in my life. Well, here we go again. Putting off the old man, the way to do that is simply put on the new man. To put on the new man, he says, put on the new man, which after God is created in what? Righteousness and true holiness. That is the new man. That's the characteristic of the new man. Righteousness. That is that which guides me and guides you. Jesus Christ's righteousness, not ours. We have no righteousness. But it's His righteousness He's imputed into us. And it's His righteousness that guides us in our relationship with God, with man, and with ourselves. It's His righteousness. It's also His holiness. Here, another characteristic of the new man. His holiness helps us in our relationship with God. We reckon God to be who He is. He's holy. And He alone is holy. There's no one else that is holy but God. And we reverence Him. We respect Him. We honor Him as who He is. He's holy. Holy, holy, holy is the God of heaven. May I remember that. May I be acknowledged that in my life daily. You see, in this new man that we're talking about. Now, this new man is a creation. Putting on the new man is a creation. Remember I said in Ephesians 2 verse 11? We're workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. This new man is a creation. Therefore, for any man in Christ, he's a what? New creature. We're new. Okay? The new man is new. See? And we see not only that, it's in God's image. This new man is in God's image that He's given to us. We're created in the image of God, a new man. We have a new man now, you see. Listen, It's not enough to cease to do evil, but we must learn to walk well. We must learn to walk well. I said a while ago, the Christian living is Christian learning. What you've heard, what you've been taught, we ought to do it. We ought to do it in our Christian life. That's putting on the new man. Putting on the new man, see. We see the new nature here. The intellect he gives us. Knowing Christ as our Savior. Knowing the Word of God. See, that enables us to put on the new man. Because we see what a Christian is. What a Christian ought to be. As we grow in the Word of God. And grow up as a Christian. We all see the affections. The love that we have now in the new man. See, I love people more than I have in my life since I've become a Christian. I love people because God gives us that love in us. A love that we can never know it now apart from Christ. And also a will to do. I have a will to do in the new man. I have a will in the new man. I know, I love, and I do because of the new man that I have in Christ Jesus. I'm a new person in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the condition of us as individuals after our hearts have been changed. We're a new man. We're new people in Christ Jesus. New people. We see we have new feelings. We see we have new desires. A new man has new desires, doesn't he? He's changed. He's changed. Now, you've seen people, and I have too, that were wicked and ungodly and all kinds of things, and they get saved and you see a drastic change in their lives. On the other hand, you see people that maybe went to church most of their life. They get saved, you don't see a drastic change, but there is a change because of the new man that's in them. There's got to be a change in us as a Christian. See, we'll lay aside some of the old practices and principles in our life that we did as an old man. Because now we're a new man in Christ Jesus. We're a new man in Christ Jesus, see. Oh, the body is the same, folks. Listen, the body doesn't change. But there's a new man living in this body. You see? A new man created in Christ Jesus. There's great purposes now for us as a new being. Our purposes for living have changed now because Christ lives within us. We want to tell somebody else about Christ. I know when I got saved, the first thing I want to do is go tell somebody what happened to me. I want to tell somebody that I was saved. God changed my life. You know, there's a great change, a great purpose now in my life as I got saved and now Christ lives in me and this new man is alive in me. Turn over to Galatians chapter 2. We're about to wrap up here. Turn back a few pages. Galatians chapter 2. Paul put it this way. As a new man, Galatians chapter 2, verse number 20. Paul says, I am crucified with who? Christ. Nevertheless, I what? I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I don't know any better way to sum it up. The life that I now live, I live by faith. I am crucified with Christ. I'm crucified with Christ. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. He loved me and gave himself for me. Yes, also we see in our life, we have a different outlook on life. One more verse, I'm sorry. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. 1 Corinthians and chapter number 10. First Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 31. Whether therefore you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of who? God. No matter what you do, Whether you eat, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. That's the new man. That's the new man, you see. What we've been talking about, we've been talking about putting off the old man. There are three actions in following Christ. We have to put off the old man. Okay? Number one. Number two, we have to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. And number three, we have to put on the new man. Put on the new man. What a blessing. What a walk, folks, we have with our Savior. I'm glad that He goes before us. And He helps us to live the life that He wants us to live. That will bring honor and glory to Him. Let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, for the Word of God that You've given to us. We thank You, dear God, that You've given us practical things to do in our life, to live and to walk and to follow You. Dear God, help us. May the Spirit of God be our teacher. May He instruct us daily, Lord, as we focus on renewing our minds in the Spirit, that Your presence might be in us and with us daily as we put on the old man and put on the new man, that somehow You may be honored and glorified through us. As we live by faith because of what You've done for us. And God, we want to live and bring glory to You. And Lord, we ask You, Lord, now as we go to the next service, bless the singing, bless our preacher. Give him liberty today to speak, thus saith the Lord. There's one in our midst that's lost. I pray, God, somehow today You might draw him to You before it's too late. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.